Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
This is day two of our literature unit. We are spending time getting to know a little bit more about the novel, A Separate Piece by the author John Knowles. He's got kind of an interesting name, doesn't he? John Knowles. You do see this name in America, but not quite as often as you would maybe Brown and Smith and Johnson, things like that.
Yep.
He is an author who's no longer with us. He passed away in 2001, but we're going to be talking about his life and how he came to produce this novel, A Separate Piece, which is considered to be one of the best books ever written for young people, adolescents.
And if you are a young person, you're an adolescent, hey, you might want to consider this book. It'll improve your English and maybe teach you a few things about life as well. So let's get to it. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson and find out about the life and times of John Knowles.
The author of A Separate Piece, John Knowles, was born in West Virginia, USA in 1926. His father was a vice president of a coal company, which provided their family with a comfortable life. Like the characters in Knowles' most famous novel, he too attended an elite boarding school in New Hampshire. Following his graduation, Knowles served for a short while as a cadet in the U.S. Air Force, before attaining his bachelor's degree at Yale University. Afterwards, Knowles spent much of the next decade traveling through Europe and making ends meet as a freelance writer and journalist. In 1959, he published his debut novel, A Separate Piece. The book drew upon Knowles' own life experiences at boarding school. In fact, several of the novel's characters were based upon his boyhood friends. In later interviews, Knowles made it clear that his childhood school years were not as dismal as the ones portrayed in the book. On the contrary, he recalls his youth as a rather joyous time in his life. Upon its release, A Separate Piece became an immediate commercial and critical success, which provided Knowles with enough income to become a full-time novelist. Although he released several other novels during his career, none approached the popularity of his debut. Knowles passed away in 2001 at the age of 75, but his famous coming-of-age novel, A Separate Piece, continues to capture the interest of young readers to this day.
The time has come for Stephanie and myself to discuss today's lesson in detail. I know you've all been waiting for that with great anticipation, so there's not going to be any more wait. Here we go. Now, we're talking about the author of A Separate Piece. That's the book we've been talking about. And the author's name is John Knowles. He was born in West Virginia, USA, way back in 1926. West Virginia, of course, is right next to the state of Virginia. West Virginia actually broke off from Virginia during the Civil War. They didn't want to join the South. So in any case here, that's where he's from, West Virginia. Of course, you know West Virginia from the song, the John Denver song, Almost Heaven, West Virginia. Although, West Virginia is almost heaven, but heaven is actually Iowa, because that was in the movie Field of Dreams. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Isn't that where you're from, Tom?
Of course, I have to pitch that, of course. Actually, I should say it's not heaven. That way we can keep a bunch of people from coming in there and ruining the place. But we're talking about John Knowles. He's from West Virginia, born there way back in 1926. And if you know a thing or two about West Virginia,
I do,
you'll know that it's coal country. So
yeah,
it's no coincidence that his father was a vice president of a coal company. So if you're a vice president, well, you're second in command. You're not the president. You're number two, the vice president.
Mm-hmm. It could be of a company that you're vice president, but you could also be vice president of a country. For example, in the United States, we have a vice president. So he was pretty high up. He was a high-level executive, you could say, of a coal company. I've been to West Virginia because I had a roommate from West Virginia who passed away, and we went to her funeral, and I discovered that West Virginia is a very poor state. They don't have a lot of money. So the fact that his father was vice president of a company was pretty lucky for him. So his father was able to make enough money to provide their family with a comfortable life. With a comfortable life just means, well, they weren't rich, okay? They weren't like buying Lamborghinis and driving around in those, but they had a nice life, especially compared to the people around him.
They weren't starving. They didn't have to beg for food. His father wasn't unemployed and stuff like that. And like the characters in Noel's most famous novel, A Separate Piece, he too attended an elite boarding school in New Hampshire. So in the book, A Separate Piece, the main characters live in a school. They're going to a boarding school. So just like them, our author here, John Knowles, went to a boarding school as well. He went to an elite boarding school in the state of New Hampshire. Elite means it's for privileged people, maybe rich people, but special people. You could say maybe it's exclusive. Only certain people get to go to this school. And a boarding school, of course, is a school where you actually live at while you're going to school there. You don't go there just during the day and go home at night.
We have some of those schools here in Taiwan. I actually substitute taught at a place called Huaxing Zhongxin, and it was on top of Yangmingshan. Okay. And it was a boarding school. The kids would stay there during the week. Sometimes on the weekend they would go home. So you live in a boarding school and see your family occasionally, usually on holidays.
Yeah, there's also a boarding school in Jingguashi, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what it's called. My daughter's friend is going to school there this year. But in any case here, he attended or went to an elite boarding school in New Hampshire, which is a state in New England, along with Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. That's New England there. And following his graduation, Knowles served for a short while as a cadet in the U.S. Air Force before attaining his bachelor's degree at Yale University. So after he graduated from that boarding school, he was in the Air Force. He was a cadet. A cadet is somebody who's in training in the military.
He is, yeah. And if you attain something, it's just another way to say you accomplished or achieved something. Usually you achieve something because you worked hard for it, so you succeed in getting or doing something. What did he get? Well, he got his bachelor's degree. Your bachelor's degree is the degree you get after 4 years of study at a university or college. That's just the first degree right out of high school, you could say.
Sure.
So Yale University is one of the Ivy League schools, which means it's a very prestigious university. So he was lucky to get his education there, I must say. After he graduated, he spent much of the next decade is 10 years of time, just traveling through Europe. How lucky is this guy? And he would make ends meet as a freelance writer and journalist.
Cool. So he probably went backpacking through Europe there, and he made ends meet as a writer. If you make ends meet, that means you make enough money to survive, to pay your bills and pay your rent and buy food and stuff like that.
But you don't get rich that way.
No, you just get by. You break even, we could say.
If you're lucky, huh?
If you're lucky, and maybe if you don't break even while you're traveling in Europe, you might get kicked out and have to go back to the USA and wash dishes at a local restaurant or something like that. But if you're freelance, that means you take work assignments on a case-by-case basis. You don't work for one specific company. You don't clock in or punch in at a certain time every day. You just get these assignments and do them on your own.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have one boss. You're kind of your own boss, really.
Sure.
And you earn money by being hired to work on these different jobs for short periods of time. A lot of people like that sort of lifestyle because they feel like they have more freedom.
You're your own boss.
You're your own boss, which is great. So this is some of his background as he was growing up and maturing into an adult. And then actually the first couple of years after he graduated from university, he was just gaining some experience, you could say. You know, he was in Europe meeting different people, taking jobs when he could. He wasn't getting rich, but man, that would be a fun way to spend a couple of years.
I certainly wish I had done that after university, backpacked around Europe, I went to Mexico instead, which is okay, but I still kind of regret not having gone to Europe. But in any case here, he was making ends meet, and he started to write articles for various newspapers on a freelance basis. But in 1959, he got his big break. He published his debut novel, which we've been talking about, A Separate Piece. So if you publish something, of course, a publishing company takes your book and prints it and starts to sell it in bookstores, and you start to get royalties. And here it's his debut novel. Debut here means your first novel, the first one that you published. We use this for the arts, your debut performance on Broadway, for example.
Yeah, so debut is kind of a strange word, guys. You're probably thinking, why isn't it debit or debut or debut?
Debut, that's how I'd like to say it.
It's actually from the French language. That's why it's weird. But we've adopted it into our language. It's debut. It's the first time an actor or a musician or a writer, we're talking about here, does something in public or is seen by the public for the first time. It doesn't mean you have to make money. I guess I could say my debut performance was when I was in seventh grade in junior high. I sang for a concert. They just asked me to sing a solo. That was my debut. I hadn't sung in public before then. So it's the first time you do something in public and people see what you can do. This was his debut novel, his very first novel that he was able to sell in stores.
And the book drew upon Knowles' own life experiences at boarding school. So here, to draw upon, that's a verb phrase that means you use this information or this experience in order to create something new or to have other experiences. You could draw upon your computer knowledge, for example. When you get a new job, it helps you get a new job or something. You kind of base future experiences on stuff you've done in the past.
That's right. Okay, guys, it's just about halfway here, so we're going to take a short break, listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要介绍 A Separate Piece, 它的作者 John Knowles, 他的平生。他出生于美国的西维吉尼亚州，那么其实小时候呢，生活也相当的优渥。在第一段的中间提到 ,Like the characters in Knowles' most famous novel, he too attended an elite boarding school in New Hampshire.事实上呢，就如同他里面的小说角色一样，他自己也是就读于呢一所精英的寄宿学校。在英文里面 ,elite 当作名词指的是呢有钱有势的或者是一些权力的集团社会的精英。所以 ,the elites of wealth and power 指的就是有钱有势的上层人士。而政治的精英则是可以称之为 political elites, social elites 当然指的就是这些社会的精英咯。而我们来看一下第一段最后一个句子提到，在耶鲁大学取得学士学位之前，他短暂地加入了美国的空军。Afterwards, Knowles spent much of the next decade traveling through Europe and making ends meet as a freelance writer and journalist. 在此后十年间呢，他花了很多时间游历欧洲，靠着当自由作家跟记者来维生。这里的 freelance writer 就是我们常常听到的特约记者。而英文里面讲到的 make ends meet 指的就是勉强的维持生活，让你的收支平衡。接着我们来看到，在1959年他出版了首部的小说，就是 A Separate Piece 返校日。第二段的第二句提到 The book drew upon Knowles' own life experiences at boarding school。这本书呢，其实采用了许多他自己在寄宿学校当中的亲身经历。我们用英文里面说 draw on 或者是 draw upon， 就是有利用跟动用的意思。举例来说，作为演员 ，John 经常要利用自己的生活经验。你就可以说 ，As an actor, John often draws on his own life experiences。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about John Knowles, the author of our featured novel, A Separate Peace. His debut novel came out in 1959, and he used his experiences in a boarding school to create the characters that we read about in this novel. He drew upon those experiences at boarding school, which oftentimes writers do. They have experiences in life, so they draw upon those experiences. Like Herman Melville drew upon his experiences when traveling around the world to write his famous novel, Moby Dick.
If you're going to write a book, why not use something that you're familiar with, your own background? So
makes
it makes
sense.
A lot of sense, huh?
Sure.
Well, several of the novel's characters in the book, A Separate Peace, were actually based on his boyhood friends. Boyhood is a term that's very similar to childhood. Boyhood friends, childhood friends, same thing. If something's based upon something else, it means that you develop it from a particular source. You use that as a basis or a starting point. I could say, this story's based on real life facts. They didn't make them up. They actually used facts they found in real stories and wrote a story using those facts. So based upon and draw upon, they're kind of similar. So a lot of these characters probably sounded familiar to his friends when they picked up a copy of the book and thought, hey, is he talking about me on page 52? That sounds like me. Of course, an author will change names, but I dated an author, and I showed up in one of his plays. So be careful if you date an author. They may use real-life experiences in something they write.
Watch out for that. You might be embarrassed later on.
Yeah.
And again, based upon can also be expressed as based on. You see this in movies, like this movie is based on a true story.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had these friends when he was a kid, and he later developed them into characters in his book. And in later interviews, Knowles made it clear that his childhood school years were not as dismal as the ones portrayed in the book. So I guess he's portraying the childhood of these characters as being kind of dismal. If something's dismal, it's kind of depressing, it's kind of sad, and oftentimes people describe their childhoods as being dismal. I didn't have a happy childhood. It was an unhappy childhood. It was sad. It was depressing. It was dismal.
Sometimes we'll also use dismal to describe the weather. If it's really cold and rainy and there's no sun outside, it's kind of dismal weather.
Like Taipei in the winter.
Yeah, like Taipei in the winter, if you want to go on a picnic, you don't want to go when the weather's dismal. But here it just means really unhappy, kind of depressing. He made it clear, which means when he was interviewed after he published the book, of course, lots of magazines and news stations want to interview him. He said, hey, even though the events in the book sound kind of depressing, my own childhood was not like that at all. It was great. It was fun. In fact, he says, it was very different. Now, if you portray something, it means that's how you describe something. So however you describe something in a particular way is how you portray it. So you can portray different situations using different words and descriptive words. You can also portray someone in a painting by showing what they look like. That's another way to use that verb to portray.
Another word would be depict or describe, as you said. So, yes, the book sort of portrays a dismal childhood, but actually, on the contrary, he recalls his youth as a rather joyous time. So joyous means happy, and that makes sense. Who wants to read about somebody's happy childhood? It does not make good literature. You've got to have some hard knocks in order to produce some good literature. At least a lot of people think so.
Well, you need drama, you want tension, and sometimes you need some tough events in order to make it more entertaining. Joyous simply means there's a lot of joy there. So there's a lot of happiness if someone has a joyous life. Now, upon its release, and we're talking about the book's release, It became an immediate commercial and critical success. Well, good for John Knowles. If you release a book, it means you make it possible to buy in the public. So it suddenly shows up in the stores. It's probably on Amazon.com so people can order it that way or even download so they can read it on their Kindle. So it became an immediate success. It didn't take long. If it's a commercial success, it means it made money. People spent money to buy the book. Now, if it's just a critical success, it means, well, all the book critics loved it. They thought it was so intellectual and so interesting to read, but the public didn't buy it. So it was probably not commercially successful if only the critics liked it. He really hit the jackpot here because he sold a lot of books and the critics liked it.
That can happen sometimes. The book or a movie or whatever can be both a commercial and critical success. It's kind of rare that that happens. Something can be commercially successful, but the critics hate it, and vice versa. And, of course, because of this commercial success and because of this critical success, Knowles was provided with enough income to become a full-time novelist. So remember, before that, he was a freelance journalist, running around, writing assignments for different publications, but now his novel sold really well, and he had enough money to say, okay, no more freelance for me. I'm just going to concentrate all my time. I'm going to spend all my time writing novels. That's going to be my career.
Good for him. Well, he did release several other novels during his career, but unfortunately for him, none approached the popularity of his debut. If you approach something, you get closer to it. Here we're using it to say he didn't really get close to the amount of books he sold with a separate piece. None of them did as well. Popularity, if you have a lot of popularity, it means a lot of people like you. A lot of kids think that being popular at school, that's the adjective form, is really, really important. Actually, it doesn't really matter. You find out after you get out of high school, there's life after high school. And actually, how you do in college is much more important. And you become your own person. But here we're talking about his other novels. They just weren't as popular as a separate piece.
And Knowles passed away in the year 2001 at the age of 75. That's a little young in my book. He should have lived a little longer there, but you never know. These things are just hard to predict, so he passed away. He died. He left the earth back in 2001 when he was 75 years old. But his famous coming-of-age novel, A Separate Piece, continues to capture the interest of young readers to this day. And if you're talking about something being coming-of-age, it's usually a story about young people, adolescents, growing out of childhood and becoming adults. It could also be talking about the loss of innocence. For example, if you're, you know, young, your parents usually try to protect you quite a bit. But if you've lost your innocence, that means, well, you're going to have to be a little bit responsible, or something bad has happened and you realize that people are out for themselves only and you become bitter and cynical.
Or maybe you just discover that the world is kind of a tough place sometimes. Not everybody's going to be trying to protect you or look out for you. Some people will try to use you and do mean things to you. So sometimes losing your innocence is good because you get a little bit tougher and you can protect yourself. Coming of age, like Tom said, it's when teenagers turn into adults. That's a coming of age period of time in our lives. Now, if you're lucky, you can write a book and capture the interest of readers. If you capture an audience's interest, it means you attract their attention, and once they have your attention, they hold it. Because what you've written or performed or done is really exciting to them, very interesting to them, and they don't want to look away.
And in our next program, of course, we'll talk about some of the themes in A Separate Piece, so make sure you join us then. And that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. It's time now to listen once again to our Chinese teacher. Listen carefully.
除了根据他自己在寄宿学校的生活经验之外, in fact, several of the novel's characters were based upon his boyhood friends. 其中还有一些的角色是根据他青少年时期的朋友所写成的。在英文里面，我们常常用被动来表达以什么为基础跟根据，英文就说 be based upon。常常听到电影是根据一个真实的故事，我们就可以说 The film is based on a true story。再举个例子来说，房间的费用是以一个房两个人来计算的基准，你就可以说 Prices are based on two people sharing a room。而当然咯，他的童年的学校生活并没有像小说中所描绘的这样子的阴沉跟忧郁。第三段第一句提到 Upon its release, a separate piece became an immediate commercial and critical success, which provided Knowles with enough income to become a full-time novelist。这本书一出版就叫好又叫座，在这里我们讲到了 an immediate commercial and critical success， 不管是商业上或者是书评家给他的，都是一个很好的一个大成功。在英文里面，我们讲到书籍的发行就可以用名词 release， 或者它也有公布的意思。像是把政府的机密资料公布，我们就可以说 The release of secret government information。 同样的拼法常用的是用来当作是动词，有释放跟放出的意思。要释放政治犯，你就可以说 Release political prisoners， 释放人质 Release hostages。OK， 回到这样的句子，正因为这本书的出版叫好又叫座，他就提供了他这样子的收入，让他可以成为 a full-time novelist， 全职的小说家。这一段的最后一句提到 Knowles passed away in 2001 at the age of 75, but his famous coming-of-age novel, A Separate Piece, continues to capture the interest of young readers to this day. 在2001年他过世了，而他这本小说 A Separate Piece 直到今日仍然吸引着青少年读者的注意。这里我们用了一个 coming of age， 代表就是成年跟成熟的意思。好，这本成长的小说吸引了青少年读者的注意，在这里用 capture 就是有捕捉跟吸引某人的意思。举例来说，如果说 capture somebody's interest， 吸引某人的兴趣， capture somebody's heart 则是指虏获某人的心的意思。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're out of time for today, but in our next program, we're going to be talking about the themes within A Separate Piece. We hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.